Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specing, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa is here screening your calls. If you're listening to us online, lots of lines open tonight, so you might want to pick up the phone and dial to join us on the call itself. That number is 347-884-8327. Call volume looks a little light tonight. I realize it's the holiday, but we're out here on the road working, so I guess you should be too. Call us up and join us, 347-884-8327. Once you're on that call, we are going to do a recorded hour tonight, meaning that it is going to be just pure question and answer on your part. And again, the lines are really wide open tonight. In fact, I see I've only got one line with a question right now. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start the recording. I'm going to do that here in just a couple of minutes. I've got Tom Bach with me. He's going to make an announcement on the OPS holiday special. We're going to be recording, and if we run out of questions, then we're just going to end the show tonight. I do realize it's a holiday and calls are a little bit light, so we're only going to go until we run out of questions. And right now, we've only got a couple, so tonight is looks like it could be your chance to get through if you've had trouble before. So with that, let's get right to the recording. And again, if you've got a question, a comment, a topic, whatever it might be, press 1 and we'll get you right on. Let's go ahead and get started on the recording. Here we go. Good evening, and welcome to the show. I'm Kevin Rutherford, and this is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. I'm here tonight and every night to improve your bottom line and make you more successful. We talk about the things that are important to you, your business, your money, your life, and your success. Thanks for joining me and allowing me to ride along with you for an hour tonight. I consider it my mission on this show to bring you the very latest information to help you be more successful, make more money, save more money, and avoid scams and ripoffs. We can talk about trucks, money, retirement accounts, fuel mileage, maintenance, health insurance, technology, taxes, financial planning, current events, politics, or anything else you'd like to bring to the show. The website is letstruck.com. And the important stuff, well, your phone calls, we're going to get to them in just a couple minutes here. But first, I've got a special guest, Tom Bach from OPS, is joining us, and he's going to tell us all about the holiday special going on at OPS. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. We talked a little bit about this the other night, but I wanted to bring you back on and make sure everybody knows this is a great time to be planning those year-end purchases to catch the tax deduction this year. Anything we buy in this year, give us the tax deduction this year. Anything we wait till January to buy, we really have to wait about 15 or 16 months to get that tax deduction. We really don't get it until the following tax year when we do the return. So we want to try to accelerate purchases into this year that we know we have to have anyway. Supplies, tires even. Sometimes I'll tell people pre-buy tires. If we know we're going to need it next year and we can buy it this year, we can accelerate that deduction. And with that and the holidays, OPS has got some pretty darn good deals coming up. Why don't you tell us what they are?
All right, Ken. Well, first, the EcoPure system will come with 3 filters, 2 sample kits, and 2 mailers. That's the starter kit that we normally sell for $685.50. We're going to mark that down between now and the end of the year to $635.50. That's $50 off. Now, if you also you want to pay in 5 equal payments, it'll be $127.10 over 5 months. So by the time that you make the 5 $127.10 payments, by not changing your oil, you've actually paid for it in that 5-6 month period, so you have nothing out of your pocket. But going along with what you just said, to try to get your expenses in this year, we're going to give everyone $103 off. We make the price $582.50, which means we're going to eat the shipping and handling plus the $50, drop it down to $582.50 if they make it in one payment. That allows them to get the expense in this year. Also, if they order between now and the 21st, they should have it before the end of the year so they can get it installed. And also puts extra income in our coffers for the end of the year as well.
That Martin's helps everybody. Now, let me just clarify something for people, because I'm not sure if a lot of people realize this. If they decide to buy it at that really good price, that was $582.50, is that right?
Correct. Yes, sir.
If they and I'm not really big on telling people to run out and put things on credit cards, but if we manage that properly, there's an advantage. And here's how it works here at the end of the year. If you buy that between now and the end of the year, and rather than take the payment plan, you put it on your credit card, you get the deduction immediately. So you would get the better price by paying all at once on your credit card. You would get the tax deduction now, even though you haven't spent any money. By charging something on a credit card, we accelerate the deduction of this year no matter when we pay for it.
Correct. And it would also, if they just broke it out into their 5 payments, similar to what we have here, they pay it off and pay very little interest on it, and the benefit they would have for the $103 off plus the tax benefit will definitely compensate them for that extra little bit of payment.
Exactly. Yep. All right. You have some specials on supplies too, right?
Well, you know, a lot of guys, like you say, want to get the expenses in this year and be able to take the benefits next year. So if they buy the filter kits, which are normally for a 10-inch, $320.50, we're going to drop that down $33. We're taking off the shipping and handling, so it'll be $287.50. For the 8-inch, which are normally $391.75, it's going to drop down to $258.75. And the 6-inch, which are normally $284.25, that'll be $251.25. And those are the EcoPure spin-on filters. Okay. Now, if they have the OPS system, they want to keep using that system. Normally, they would get a 10-pack, 10 filters, 10 sample kits, 10 mailers for $423. They're going to get those for $390 because they'll get the $33 off of that as well. So that usually is a year supply for each one of those kits, which will get them all the way through 2011, and they'll make the expense payment in 2010 and be able to take it there.
Fantastic. Now, that's a lot of numbers to try to remember. It really, the key to remember here is prices are really good between now and the end of the year, so stock up on this stuff, get your deduction now. And the only number they really need to remember out of all that is the phone number. So what is it?
That's Audie's number. That's 203-346-1832. And one more thing, Kevin, they can also buy the conversion kit, which will change their head over from an OPS filter to the spin-on filters, and that's $99.75, and then they buy the 5 filter kits, the 5 filters and the spin-on filters, the EcoPure filters, that'll get them through next year, and he'll take the $33 off of that. So simply put, it's $50 off for the EcoPure system, $103 if you pay it in one payment, $33 off of any of the filter packages.
Fantastic. We've I know you were just coming on for that, but we've got a question. Do you want to take it?
I'll take as many as you want.
All right, let's go to Colorado. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin and Tom, how you doing?
Doing
good.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, Lisa emailed my oil sample. I just put the OPS on and sent one in, and it's a abnormal severity 2. I was just curious to see what you thought about it.
Give me the name that's on the report, the truck name.
It's under Scott Razor, R-A-S-E-R.
All right, let me pull it up here. Just give me a second.
Yeah, and while he's doing that, I'll just do a little song and dance and entertain everybody.
Well, I'll ask you a question while you're doing that,
okay,
if you want.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
You can both, while you're both listening. After I put that on, my truck was using a lot of oil, and you and I have talked before about it, Kevin. And, you know, rings or whatever, it's been overheated or something. And I put that on, and the oil had 1,100 miles on it. And I was usually, after I change oil, I would usually add a gallon at about 3,000. And then I would have to add a gallon every 2,000. I put that OPS on and went 4,500 miles before I added a gallon. And that was counting the makeup oil that I didn't add after I put the OPS on, and it filled the filter. So, actually, I think those probably hold 2 quarts, don't they?
They hold about 2 quarts, yeah.
So, in 4,500 miles, I dropped to, I used 2 quarts of oil. Do you understand that?
As far as why it happened, I don't know.
I don't know why it's happening. Normally, trucks will do about 10,000 miles per gallon. That's usually what we see is the normal. So if you did 2 quarts in 4,500, it's pretty close to the norm, I would think.
Okay. So, but the truck was just using a lot of oil before I put the OPS on.
That's kind of the confusing part, Tom. But he called me before he put this unit on, and the oil consumption was just horrible on this engine. And now it looks like it's gotten better, which not exactly sure what would let's just keep an eye on it and see what happens going forward.
Some things. Let me ask him a couple of questions here about his report. It says on your report you're using Shell Rotella. Is that what you're using? Are you using a synthetic or are you using tea? Or
you say, no, have I?
No,
I know.
To your report, you're using Shell Rotella. Is that correct?
Yeah, 1540.
Okay, just straight mineral oil, not synthetic in any case, right?
Right, straight mineral, because this engine has a lot of miles on it, and I would be afraid to do that.
Okay, now, did you put any additive in like Lucas?
I did put a gallon of Lucas in.
Okay.
But
now,
it's never done
Lucas
that before. I've done that before, and it's never really responded like this. That's why I thought it was bizarre.
You know, I can't answer why that happened, but I can tell you that your viscosity is up in the 50 range, which means it's thicker. So it could be one of the seals somewhere that was leaking through a seal and going into, you know, a place where it would burn off. It's not happening now, but the oil is actually thicker. That's a possibility. I'm not saying that's what it is, but that's definitely a possibility.
Okay.
The other thing that makes it abnormal,
Hold that thought on the other thing, Tom. We've got to get to a break. We're going to come right back. So both you guys hold on. We're going to pick it up right after the break. You're on the Road Dog Sirius 147 XM 171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We'll be right back. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. And right before the break, Tom was going over an oil sample with Scott. So welcome back, guys. And Tom, pick up on that sample right where we left off.
Okay, Scott. So what I was saying was the oil sample itself, the two things that show abnormal, or three that show abnormal, one is magnesium and calcium, and then, of course, viscosity. And I think part of that is because you did not show that you were using Lucas. And when they're
okay.
looking at the Shell Rotella formulation, they don't have that magnesium and calcium in it, but it may be in the Lucas, okay? I would be a little bit concerned looking at this report. You have that virtually nowhere whatsoever, which is excellent, okay? But I would be a little bit concerned showing that you only had a short amount of miles on this. From what it's showing, you only have 1,100. Is that right?
Yeah, when I put the OPS on, the oil had 1,100 on it.
Okay, well, here's where you may be having some kind of a problem there. You've got some sodium and some potassium just starting to show up. And if that rises up, when you get around 10,000 miles, it's going to be somewhere around the 180, 190 range. If it continues the way it's going, or a little bit higher, which means you have some type of glycol leak into your oil. Because you've
right.
got sodium and potassium, that's where it's coming from. So you definitely want to find out where that's coming from and get that fixed, because what happens is the glycol will eat away at the additive package, and you'll end up with metal-to-metal wear, which will really hurt you.
Okay, so what could that be? Because I have had this problem for the last couple oil samples, and people I've talked to, and Kevin's one of them, have told me that it could be a dozen things. So how do you track it down?
It could be the head gasket, okay? It could be a seal somewhere. It could be got the bit of crack in the block.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an oil cooler seal. And has it overheated at all?
Not since I've owned it, but I know the guy that I bought it from, I had talked to him, and he said that they always had problems keeping the truck cool, and he had drivers in it, so it's hard to say what had happened in
right.
the past.
Well,
it
could have overheated, and somewhere in there there's a part that's warped, and the seal is not as tight as it should be. Once the engine heats up, it spreads up open enough that your glycol is going into the system.
Yeah, my guess is
how
that's
much are
probably
you putting
something
in?
Like that.
A lot of antifreeze in? Are you putting a lot of antifreeze in it?
No, I'm not. About a gallon every, I don't know, about every oil change is about all I'm adding to it, which doesn't seem
now
to be a lot to me.
Actually, that
a
is
lot.
A lot.
It is a lot.
We get used to putting oil in an engine, which isn't a problem. I mean, diesel engines consume oil while they run, but diesel engines shouldn't consume any coolant.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is it doesn't seem like it's a lot to be, overly concerned,
yeah.
but it is enough
it really,
to,
really
you know.
It really doesn't take that much. Three or four ounces into the oil could definitely do that, just so you know.
Okay, so what's possible.
You're putting a gallon in, that's a lot.
Yeah, the gallon
okay.
isn't all going into the oil, but the gallon's going somewhere. And
somewhere.
Things like a head gasket or a cracked head can cause the oil to get into the combustion chamber, and we're burning most of that gallon off, and we're getting traces of it in the oil, which
in
is what,
oil.
I mean, two things are telling us something's wrong. One, we have to add coolant, we shouldn't have to add any. And two, we're seeing it in the sample. And you might want to watch for white smoke, especially on startup in the mornings or, any time throughout the day when you're taking off. If you see white smoke, that's some sort of water contamination in the combustion chamber, and we're burning it out.
Okay. All right. Otherwise, this truck, we've talked about this before, is probably so close to an in-frame that I thought I'd just go ahead and save my pennies and get it done here, and rather than trying to track this down.
Yeah, that's probably a better idea. If you got 800,000 miles on an engine, I would definitely take a look at doing it that way.
Yeah, and it probably has more than that on it. The guy that I bought it, I bought it from an auction, but I was able to talk to the guy that had owned it for a long time, and he said it was probably closer to 900 plus. So
now, at that point, any time you've got to get as far down as even a head gasket, we might as well just do the cylinder kits while we're in there.
Exactly. So if I can, I mean, if I can get more miles, I mean, just continue to run this and add antifreeze, I'm probably not hurting anything else, right? I mean, it's basically, it's on its way out anyway.
Well, you don't want to get it to where it becomes a catastrophic failure, because then you end up buying a block. So that's, you know what I mean? If something gets to where it wears it off, like a piston starts to wear and the rod snaps.
Don't let it go through, yeah. Okay, so
you end up, that's my whole part. Nothing's reusable.
So try to get it.
The other thing to keep in mind is if you're going to try to get more miles out of it, and you can, but as Tom mentioned, we're always running the risk of some sort of a failure that ends up costing us more. But if you're going to try to get some miles out of it, keep a pretty healthy dose of Lucas in it, maybe even a couple gallons.
Okay, that might help just to keep it lubricated.
Yeah, no guarantees, but, you know, the glycol and anything else in there is going to start to strip out that protection and make the wear worse. And, you know, the thickening effects of the Lucas will help slow that down some.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is you're in Colorado, so make sure you warm the engine up sufficiently before you take off in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have time for one more quick question on this?
Unfortunately, no, we're going to have to. I'm looking at the lines now, and they're filling up quick, so I've got to get to a couple more calls. Let's go to Virginia. Norman, welcome to the program.
Hey there, guys. How you doing this here wonderful day?
Doing really good. What's on your mind tonight?
On my OPS unit, the two little lights that are on, the only way I can get them to stay on is I have to stand there and hold the wires really tightly up against the unit. Otherwise, the little lights won't stay on.
All right. It sounds to me like you may have a bad ground. What's happening is when you're pulling those wires, the ground is actually connecting. Check your ground wire first. And if that doesn't do it, what you need to do after that is just give us a call. We'll get one of our technicians to get, you know, tell you what you need to do.
Good
deal.
Check,
make sure your ground wire is actually tight.
The ground wire to the frame or the ground wire to the unit?
Either one. Well, the ground wire from the unit is coming straight out of the unit, right? So when you're going to the frame, make sure that you've got a metal-to-metal connection.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're pulling together, you're actually moving that wire a little bit, and that could be hitting against the bottom of the nut or whatever. Just make sure that's cleaned out the way it should be.
Good
deal.
I will check the
ground's right.
I will check that. Thank you.
Okay, but if it doesn't work, you know, give Artie a call, and he'll get Art Cooper or Ben Thomas to give you a call and walk you right to another solution for you.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sir.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to we are off to Quincy, Illinois this time. Michael, welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen.
I'm
glad that I'm following the caller who just called. I'm calling to sing praises to Tom and all the people at OPS in regards to a warranty issue. I had the same issue of the previous caller. My EchoPure unit lights were not functioning properly. I called OPS to document the issue. Eventually, they had me troubleshoot with a technician over the phone. I still couldn't get the unit to function properly. They sent me back to the shop where I had it installed at White Tank and Trailer Repair, or White Truck and Trailer in Belleville, Illinois. The technician there called OPS, and OPS rushed out a brand-new EchoPure unit to me immediately, and I had it installed, and it was just a wonderful experience, and their warranty program is second to none.
Fantastic.
I'm glad to hear that. We try to keep our customers as happy as we can. Obviously, things could go wrong. You know, we don't want them to go wrong, but it happens. As long as we respond properly, that's the way we should be.
Yep, and I just wanted to say that I really appreciate it.
Excellent. We appreciate you calling in and giving us the feedback.
No problem.
All right. Hey Tom, we got to get to a break, but I certainly appreciate you coming on and joining us, and we'll talk to you again next time.
It's always a pleasure. Just have him call Artie at 203-346-1832. Thanks a lot.
Got it. Fantastic. All right. We are going to head off to a break. When I get back, I'm going to get to some more calls, so stick around for that. We've got lots more coming. You can always check out the website. It's letstruck.com. Always something going on over there. It's open all the time, and the activity never stops. There's always something new, so check it out at least once a day, maybe even several times a day. I do. We'll be right back. You're on the Road Dog, Sirius 147 XM 171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. We're going to go right back to the phone calls. Let's go to Arizona. Alec, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to share a funny story. I was picked up a load outside of Reno a couple weeks ago, and I pulled into a pilot there, and I said, you know, when I checked the trailer, I had about 90 pounds of in my tires in the trailer. I said, well, I know this isn't good enough with Kevin, so I pulled in, put in 105 pounds in all the tires. And I'm doing the last one, and a guy in a low rider Peterbilt pulls in behind me, and he's impatient because I'm gearing up and I'm not fueling. And he says, hey, you almost done? Got a flat, huh? No, actually, I'm just airing him up a little bit more. I said, this is the last one. I says, oh, well, you actually believe that? You know, you save fuel by putting tires. And he really meant it, because I was only adding 10 PSI to the tires.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, you lose, you know, a tenth of a mile per gallon for every 10 pounds. And you really believe that? And I go, well, look at the trailer. It's got a belly fairing. It's sucked up the gap. You know, I'm trying to get every morsel I can. So anyway,
right.
I drive all the way to Cheyenne, Wyoming. I get 8.1 miles to the gallon. So obviously I'm doing something right, and I listened to what you said. This, I think the last time you and I talked several months ago, you said, Alex, slow it down to 57 and really see the difference. So I did. And those are the results. So you're absolutely right.
You know, those numbers speak for themselves. I mean, those are just amazing numbers. There was a time when even I didn't believe when, you know, there was a time where I used to tell people they were crazy. They were checking something wrong. They weren't getting 8 miles to the gallon. And the reason I used to say that is because they would call and they would tell me what the specs are, how fast they were driving or what things they had or hadn't done. And I know in my mind, you can't get 8 miles to the gallon unless you really try. I mean, it takes a lot of effort in most operations. You've got to slow down. We've got to get the rolling resistance down. We've got to get the aerodynamics fixed. The engine has to be running right. I mean, when all those things happen, then we start seeing, you know, 8 miles to the gallon, which is pretty tough. So, you know, here's the other thing about tires. 10 pounds, that tire starts to get much hotter if it's 10 or 15 pounds low in pressure. And we can't tell 10 or 15 pounds with a tire thumper. It's just not going to happen. You can be 15 or 20 pounds low, and a tire thumper will feel just fine when you walk by and bang on the tire. But when you measure it and you can see you're 15 pounds low, if you don't put air in, that tire's going to get hot. We're putting a lot more stress on the tire, and the rolling resistance does go up because that sidewall is flexing a lot more.
And, you know, those results, and I did it exactly the way you say. Drive your truck, measure the miles, divide it by how many gallons you put in. I mean, it's not rocket science. So
yeah, there you go.
Any dash gauges or anything else like that. Now, I'm excited because this is a company truck that hasn't done anything of the sorts of what you describe on the show. So when I become an owner-operator here shortly and I start really taking advantage of some of the knowledge that you've conveyed on your show, I'm hoping to get the truck by driving properly to get it to 9. That's
well,
my
you focus. Know what? We're pushing that number now. A lot of our listeners are. We're doing it on some trucks, and you're well on your way. I mean, if you're able to hit 8 on a truck that you're not even able to control the maintenance and the modifications and those kind of things, you're doing it with what you've been given. The 9 is not out of the question. So keep it up. Really good stuff. Love to get feedback like that, too. Let's go to New Mexico. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey there.
I wish everybody a happy holiday and everything.
Fantastic. We've got a lot of holidays coming up.
I was looking at leasing on with Landstar, but just for everybody's information, if you don't have a year's worth of experience in the last 3 with over-the-road winter conditions and stuff, they won't lease you on.
Yeah, and
even
actually,
I've got,
you know,
30
we
years.
Talk about this sometimes. They have their minimum requirements that you need to meet. The year experience, you know, recent, all-weather, over-the-road, that kind of stuff. But even when you meet their minimum requirements, they still have I don't even know how to put it. At one time, and I'll verify if this has changed or not, at one time they only signed on about 3 out of every 100 applications.
Okay.
So
well,
even when you
thought...
meet the minimum requirements, sometimes there are other things that they're, I guess we could say they're pretty picky about who they contract with, and they hold to some pretty tough standards. And sometimes it's just a matter of not having enough experience to meet their requirements.
Well, like I was saying, I've been driving since 1980, and I've been over the road and everything. So it just sort of surprised me that with all that experience that they wouldn't even look at me, or at least that's what the recruiter was telling me.
He's probably right. I mean, they do a pretty good job of screening and knowing those kind of things. And that probably is the one complaint that I do get back about Landstar quite a bit, is that somebody wanted to sign on and couldn't.
Well, I just told the recruiter, well, I guess I'll have to go get my own authority again, because I have had my own authority at one time and stuff. So, but anyway, needless to say, the other question I had was on the OPS.
Yeah.
I don't have it on my truck right now. I'm looking to see out of this DD15 how long I can go without doing an oil change. I know they say 50,000. I'm looking to see if I can push it a little bit. So I don't have the capability of doing the drain or the sampling off of the OPS. And I talked to them, and they referred me to another company to get a pump. And I got that. I haven't used it yet because I wanted to find out whether how – I only bought one, not from OPS, but from the pump company, a sample bottle that hooks to the pump. How clean does that need to be in between samples?
The bottle itself, I would make sure it's very clean. Clean it with a solvent, with some gasoline maybe even, and dry it really well. And here's the reason. When we look at oil samples and we're looking at things like wear metals, let's say, you know, we're looking at 60 parts per million of iron. You know, and we're really fine-tuning those numbers. 60 parts per million isn't much, but those are the kind of numbers we're trying to measure. So if there's any contamination left from the last sample, it could really throw off our numbers. So, you know, we just want to make sure all of the old oil is out of it and it's relatively clean. You don't even want any real, like, a film from the last sample, just to be sure. We would hate to get a false reading on something and then have you trying to chase down a problem or spending money on something that didn't even exist.
Okay, so it'd be better to just go ahead and order some more bottles for the pump, and that way you don't have any problems then.
Yeah, if they're not very expensive, I'd order some other bottles. Otherwise, like I say, I would use something, even in, you know, gasoline or a solvent or something to clean out that bottle and then make sure I got it nice and dry.
Okay. All right, well, that takes care of me tonight, and you have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And if we were to use gasoline or a solvent, make sure we get it dry so that we don't get some other weird reading in there as well. Let's go to, you know what? Let's go to a break. I just looked at the clock. When we come back, I'm going to get to as many more calls as I can, so stick around. The website, always something going on over there. Go check it out. It's letstruck.com. We've got a lot of announcements coming up soon. We have a lot of projects in the works between Signature trucks being built and trucks up for sale and our Signature B truck, and we've got new DVDs coming out. And sometimes it's easy to miss the announcements on the show if you miss part of the show. The best place to see what's going on is the website. It's letstruck.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're on the Road Dog, Sirius 147, XM 171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. Let's get right back to some phone calls. Let's head off to Wisconsin this time. Harold and Colleen, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin. I want to thank you for your book, the book that you sent me to.
Which one was that?
The Atlas Shrugged. I'm scared.
Boy. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Isn't that I know that is a really, really long read or a listen, but isn't that just an amazing book?
I can see the Obama administration doing what Mounch did.
Yes.
I can see that directive coming, and it's scaring the bejesus out of me.
You know, the amazing thing about that book is it was written in the 50s. Now, you have to remember the perspective of the author. She grew up in communist Russia. She was able to see a true socialistic, communistic government. She saw how hard it was to succeed or to have any kind of freedom under a system like that. And then she had the advantage of being able to emigrate to the U.S. and found absolute economic freedom here. She was able to achieve some amazing things because of the freedoms we had here in this country. And she was able to put that to good use and just do some amazing things. And then she wrote a book about what happens when you lose those kind of freedoms. And at the time, she wasn't writing the book about what was happening in the U.S. I mean, it was happening here. That's kind of the feeling you get, the steel barons and that kind of thing. But it was more so about the difference between a true free enterprise system and what happens when you lose that free enterprise system. And now here we are 50-some years later, and we're seeing it happen.
We need to be strikers.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We're all going to end up in the mountains of Colorado.
Yes, because we need a champion like John Galt. We need that, and there isn't anybody. And that's the hard part. There isn't anybody strong enough.
Not in the government. I mean, we're certainly not seeing, you know, and there are some candidates out there. They may not have risen all the way to prominence or to a position where they can make that kind of a difference, but there are certainly the John Galt's in the business world still, and you know I seek them out everywhere I can find them.
But I've been listening to the audiobook, and I am going to listen to it again and again and again. I love that book.
I read a lot. Probably I average about 2 to 3 books a week, either audio when I do drive, like we've been doing a lot of driving, so I'm listening to more on audio, and I read, a couple more a week. And I've done that most of my life. There are very few times where I fall below that number, and probably almost never fall below at least one book. So I've read a lot. The one thing I don't do, and sometimes I probably should, is I don't read books over. There's always a new book I want to get to, and when I find a really good one, I'll set it aside and I'll go, you know, I need to come back to that and read it again later. The one exception to that is Atlas Shrugged. I've read it twice in my lifetime, and it's a long read. It's 1,000 or 1,100 pages or whatever it is. And then I listened
to be exact.
1,300. Okay. I knew it was a lot. And then I've listened to it once. So it's the only book I've ever heard 3 times.
And we have it on our Nook and we have it in audiobook. And I've done it both ways.
Fantastic.
And I can't wait to listen to The Fountainhead.
The Fountainhead, it's close. I was going to say I almost enjoyed the story of The Fountainhead more, but the lesson is a little more subtle in The Fountainhead. I mean, the Atlas Shrugged the message is very political, and it's very timely with what's going on in our country now. The Fountainhead is more of an individual. The message is a little more subtle, but you'll enjoy it. Now, they made a movie about The Fountainhead years ago that I've seen, and I don't watch a lot of movies. And now they've been working on a movie for Atlas Shrugged, and Lisa told me the other day it's coming out in December.
Oh, my God, I got to see it.
Yeah, I know. I don't watch a lot of movies, but I am going to watch this one. So it'll be interesting to see how well they do. It's a very, very difficult book to put to a movie, but we'll see what happens. Let's go to Canada. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully, Lisa cooked you a nice big turkey.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. We're going to spend some time together, and we'll see what we come up with.
A couple of comments and questions for you there. Thanks for the bottle of air brake antifreeze. It mysteriously grew into a case in the mail.
Okay.
I came home and found a whole case of it sitting there. The only thing was, yeah, they shipped me a nice free sample case. They didn't pay the duty on it. Not even the duty. They didn't pay the brokerage fee. So I sent Penray, the guy that sent out, he put his business card in there. And sent him a nice little email thanking him, telling him I was going to distribute to my friends and that. Next time, pay the duty. He didn't even have the courtesy of giving me a reply.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, a little thing like that, it really turns your mind on how a company works.
I know.
The question. When you had that lady on with the coolant, she was absolutely amazing. And
we're going to get her back. She was amazing. It was too much for me to absorb.
Yeah, well, she said one thing, and it, you know, it slipped by you, and I caught it, and then she never mentioned it again, and that's what I wanted to ask you. She said something about a bad ground affecting your coolant.
Yes, that is true.
How does a bad ground affect your coolant? You're talking electrical ground, I assume, right?
Electrical ground, correct. It's similar to electrolysis and what we see sometimes with dissimilar metals, the type of corrosion we can see when you have dissimilar metals. It's similar to that, and I'm glad you brought it up. I'm going to get her to explain it better because I might screw this up. I do know that's true, and I've in my mind, it's always been similar to like an electrolysis, or if we bolt aluminum to iron sometimes and we see that pitting even in the aluminum can't really corrode like rust, but we see that pitting in aluminum where the aluminum just almost kind of disappears. I think it's similar to that kind of a process that happens. But when we get her back on, we need to make sure we cover that again so she can explain it the right way.
Hey, that was something I'd never heard of or never even would have thought of. But it must be something like that water treatment thing where they have you clamp electrical lines on your water pipes to get rid of the hard water. I guess my other comment with this would be, I think you should get her and Tom sitting down together and working on, you know, kits where, you know what, when you do your oil sample, you can do your coolant sample at the same time and ship them right in the same package to make it a lot easier for everyone.
That's a great idea. And the next place we're going, I mean, this is all the same lab. It's Polaris Labs. And we're also going to get their fuel specialist to come on. And we're going to talk about what kind of things we can find out from fuel analysis as well, because there's a lot more to learn there. So I don't want to overwhelm myself. I don't want, you know, information overload. So we're kind of going to ease into the coolant, and then we'll bring in the fuel analysis as well. But a kit where we do everything, you know, and a schedule is a great idea.
Yeah, just all in one, get it done, ship it into Polaris, and him back. So that's all
there
I got. You guys have a great holiday. We'll talk to you again.
All right, you too. Thanks for the call. All right, that's looks like that's going to wrap it up this evening. We are all out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining me. Be sure to tune in every night, midnight Eastern time. We're also here every weekend live, 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern time, every Saturday and Sunday, taking your calls and answering your questions. So join us for that. You're on the Road Dog, Sirius 147, XM 171. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.